good people tell me about good old people. It's fun to come down to 310 South Main. I'm telling you, good people, you buy nothing but the best.
Dave TV. این کارها را فقط به دلیل علاقه زیاد به شما انجام می دهیم. Dave TV.
Got another superstar guest here. She's on the phone. I hope I pronounce her last name correctly. Larissa Asuaje. She's the bilingual actress who is most famous for dubbing the voice of Terry Hatcher, Susan on ABC's hit Desperate Housewives. Into Spanish, Larissa, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Con gusto. I'm doing great. How about yourself? Where are you calling from, Larissa?
From Los Angeles.
You're still in bed, huh?
Yes.
Roll over onto one elbow and tell us, what does it take to become a voiceover? What do you call yourself? Do you call yourself an actress or a voiceover specialist? Or please define what you do here.
Oh, well, I'm actually an actress. That's my training. I studied acting in Venezuela.
Ah, where in Venezuela?
Yeah, and while I was studying arts, dramatic arts, I started working doing dubbing and doing voices in for the American shows and for Brazilian soap operas and things like that.
And you speak Portuguese as well?
I do, yeah. But you don't have to. But I studied. I like Portuguese, yeah.
And how did you audition to get something that is as famous as The Desperate Housewives? How do you find your way to something like that?
I used to work for that company, and they were auditioning. They already knew my work. First they auditioned a bunch of people. I wasn't in the first one because I didn't have time to audition. And then they auditioned again, and finally I got it. So it was nice.
Okay, so when you're doing the show, and do you sit around with all of the other voice players who do the characters, and do you sit in a circle, or do you come in individually? How do you do this?
Yeah, we do it individually. Sometimes we do it like in a couple. We could do it, but for Desperate Housewives, we usually do it just one actor at a time.
And you walk in and you only do just the lines. Even if there's a conversation with another human being, you only ferret out just the lines that one person does?
Yes.
And how easy is it for you to get it exactly literal, or do you go ahead and take a poetic license with it?
I think we take poetic, not so much, but the thing is that we have to adapt, and English usually it takes less words, you know. Spanish, because of the Latin structure, it's usually longer, so you either have to talk faster, or you have to, you know, recreate try to make it shorter.
Well, you have to sync it up with the way their lips are moving, right? Don't you have a big screen in front of you or a television set, and you have to actually link it up with the way their mouth is moving, correct?
We have to, absolutely. And so sometimes because of the what we call labiales in Spanish, which is like try to match to the movement of the lips, sometimes we have to find different words to try and match with the, you know, when they're pronouncing like a word that has a P or a B that it's too obvious, then we have to find a similar word in Spanish.
I gotcha. Do you fight with the other co-stars if you're ever working with them?
You mean in the...
In the voiceover, when you're... Because all artists fight with each other behind the scenes. You know, if you've got six women or six guys or whatever in a television show, behind the scenes, there's always hijinks.
You are so perceptive.
and when you get the voiceover gang, is there... We call it acrimony.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. Well, you get along with all the other artists, or is there competition, severe competition between voice artists?
I guess. I don't know. I just go there and do my job. Like I told you, we don't really interact. So, you know.
It's an existential pursuit. You do it by yourself. Let me ask you this. What are your favorite roles to do the voice work for? Do you have a particular kind of a character that you like to play more than others?
You mean what I've done or what I've what I would like to do?
Or? Either way, just give me a good answer.
Oh, I did a character a long time ago for not a long time ago, but a couple of years ago, for a Brazilian soap opera called Piedra sobre Piedra.
And what is that in English? Share with us.
That was in stone over stone, I guess, rocks over, I don't know, something like that.
Anyway.
Como?
Go ahead.
And so the character, I can't remember her name, but it was a very magical character, and she was really funny. I love comedy, and she was just very sweet. And they mixed, what I really liked about this, it was that they mixed like magic with reality. It's called magic realism.
Certainly.
That they use a lot in Brazilian soap operas, and that character was like that, and it was really, really beautiful.
Okay, I was going to ask you a question here, porque fala suficiente português também. When you go into places like Brazil and some of the other South American countries, do you find that censorship is more relaxed in terms of subject matter or the way you speak about something?
In Brazil, definitely. Oh, my God, yes. In Venezuela, no. I don't think so.
Explain the difference to our friends, if you would.
Oh, from Brazil or Brazil is, they're just very free and they're very creative. And for what I've seen, when I was doing the dubbing for their soap operas, they're just very free and inhibited. And like the priority is not the moral aspect of what they're writing. It's the creative. You know, it's how creative it is, and it's very. I don't know. It's very free. In Venezuela, I think it's more like, I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble, but it's just more like paying by numbers.
Sure.
You know, it's more predictable, and it's not as, and it's usually trying to, follow like a formula of things pre-established.
Sure, the way we do television here, the way we do most broadcasting media here, so that it's by the numbers and predictable is what you're saying.
Oh, no, I'm saying in Venezuela.
See?
No, I think here it's way more creative.
Oh, really? So you find it much more restrictive down there. That's interesting.
In Venezuela, not in, because restrictive in the in Venezuela, in the sense that I don't think that in Venezuela we are as creative. Here, it's like all the time you find it. You know, people are always trying to find their voice. I mean, obviously, at some point, it becomes about the business.
Sure.
But I see a lot of people, like, doing open mics. I've done open mics. And I see a lot of people trying to find their voice and creatively trying to find something.
Let me ask you this, my dear. On the television, one of the ways that I pursue a little bit of language is that virtually every cool channel on the cable, starting with HBO, has a Latino version. It's in Spanish. And I learn all my favorite movies with all the best girls in it and then switch the channel because I already know the script. and then it goes by in Espanol. Okay. Is this creating a bigger market for you? Cause clearly it must be. Por lo visto, sí?
I don't know.
You work constantly in the United States?
I do, but you know what? Actually, I mostly do voiceover work.
And you're doing voiceover work for movies or not television, you're saying?
No, I'm usually doing voiceover for commercials.
Ah.
Radio in Spanish.
You ever do any kind of animation? You do every kind of cartoon work or something?
Yeah, I did it in Venezuela, actually, not here.
And what kind of animation are they doing in Venezuela today?
We did a while ago when I was I came here 7 years ago. And before, I used to do the Tasmanian Devil. They did a new version of the Tasmanian Devil, the Tiny Toons. And I used to be Molly, which was his sister.
Okay. Do you prefer to play good, clean, family-oriented roles, or do you ever dream of playing a slut?
Whoa. 6 in the morning in Los Angeles.
Best time to be a slut. Go ahead.
I like doing comedy.
Okay. And have you ever done musical comedy?
Oh, no.
You ever do anything in English? Have you ever done any kind of voice work in English?
No. Acting-wise, I was in a show like 3 years ago, just one episode, one little thing, and that's it. But voiceover work, no.
And what other shows would you do that we would know, Larissa? I'm talking to Larissa Asuaje. How do you say your last name again, dear? We have four different...
Asuaje.
Larissa Asuaje. She's the Spanish voice for the Desperate Housewives here. What other show have you done that we might recognize, my dear?
The Voice?
Yeah.
We're doing The Bold and the Beautiful, and I am the character called Kristen. And we're also doing Lost, and I'm not Lost, but I mean Lost.
Okay, well, this is what I was reflecting on, is that virtually every show of any substance now is translating directly into the language. It sounds to me like you're constantly busy.
Yeah, but you know what? Most of the work, it goes to Mexico, or to Venezuela, or Chile. Those are, I think, the three.
Yeah, but anything that goes to Mexico winds up back in Los Angeles. Come on.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying in terms of work for us here in the United States, we usually, like, there's very few shows being dubbed in the United States right now.
Okay.
Those three shows, basically, I think.
Anybody ever recognize your voice?
Yep.
You ever been talking in a line at a movie and somebody turns around and goes, you're Terry Hatcher in Espanol?
No.
Because I have people all the time. I start talking in a line waiting at the movies or something, and people always turn around and go, Bon Jovi. I take it as a compliment. What the hell? You know, it's East Coast. That's good enough. You know,
your ego just needs something. To
whatever. Just look at me, lady. Did you do any work in New York City? You ever come to the East Coast?
No, I wanted to go to your show.
Yeah, well, there's a big difference, you know, between Puerto Rican Espanol and Mexican Spanish. We have a whole different set of slang and a whole different way of moving to it. And the music is different. Do you perceive that? Can you speak Boricua Espanol? Can you speak the Spanish that they speak here in New York and Philly and Connecticut and so forth?
I can try to, you know, imitate a little bit, because usually when we do dubbing, I'm from Venezuela and my accent is more Caribbean. But for dubbing, we have to do what they call the standard accent, which is actually more Mexican. That's what it is. And so Puerto Rico es más así, como más caribeño. It's like a different rhythm, more like, you know, it has more. In Mexico, it's different. Yeah, I can imitate those accents.
Absolutely. Mete mano. Excellent. Hey, you know what? I think that you've got a future ahead of you that you may not be aware of, because virtually every channel is starting to spin up in Spanish now, and the Spanish channels are moving into digital. The music shows are off the hook. They're doing half of them now, half in English and half in Spanish, just the same way we've been bouncing around back and forth here. You want to see what's new and cool on somebody's feet, shoes-wise? You want to see the new haircuts? You want to see the new bling? That's where you go. Agree or disagree?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I guess. I don't know. It's like, because it's a movement. You just, you know, you look at it and you see it when it's happening. But I don't really get to, you know. I guess. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about it as you are telling me.
We're going to be looking for your voice, La Risa Azuaje.
I hope I can just work as an actress more, because that's what I really like to do.
Excellent. So you actually have an agent, and we're going to be seeing you on the silver screen. We'll be seeing your pretty face.
I hope so.
Outstanding. Thank you for calling, La Risa. We'll be looking forward to your next work.
Thanks, David.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. That's about the only way you're going to really learn Spanish, right? Unless you hang out down in my part of town. No, seriously, you take the television set, you flip it over, and you can make it from, you know, from the English to it and back and forth. I forgot to ask her. I wonder if she's ever done adult films. Do people moan and groan with an accent? Is that... Okay, let me try. Here we go.
David Lee Roth in the mornings on 92.3 Free FM.
Beautiful, Mike, really is.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, Extra Large, New York, Philly, talking to Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, the entire free world. DavidLeeRoth.com is the bomb. And speaking of the bomb, I've got the ultimate guitar player ever on the phone, Brian May from Queen. Brian, how are you?
I'm very good, Dave. How wonderful to talk to you.
This is an amazing meeting here. Who would have ever thought upon this very mountain we would first ever enjoy each other's company?
It's fantastic. How come you ended up in New York City, not in glorious, sunny California?
Because this is where all the... This is a good question. This is where all the rivers confluence happens. This is where all the cultures butt heads. This is where worlds collide. Probably 30% of New York is actually from New York, and the rest of these colorful characters are like you and me. We came from somewhere else. And in 182 language here, even in the street, we look over each other's shoulders and go, hey, where'd you get those shoes? Where are you calling from?
I'm in Washington, Dave. Yeah, on our way over. We'll be there pretty soon.
And how many states are you doing on this tour, Brian? Where are you playing?
We do 23 dates, all around. You know, we go up the East Coast, and then we do bits of the Midwest, and
it's the full Detroit, American Sweden, diet,
which we love, and then and then California, and up the West Coast, ending up in Canada.
How many shows have you already done, Brian?
We've done 4.
And how's it going?
It's great. I can't believe I'm doing this, really.
Why don't you believe this? Explain. Share with us.
Well, it was a long time. You know, we lost our Freddie, and for a long time, I guess I just protest too much. You know, I just kind of didn't want to know about it. I didn't want to replace Freddie. And I was quite happy just doing other stuff in my life. You know, I was having quite a good life, as a matter of fact.
I know. Just when you get out, they drag you back in.
Yeah, but then something happened. I met Paul Rodgers and suddenly thought, wow, he's a guy I could really interact with. You know, we could be a real band again.
What is it that causes that kind of interaction to exist for you? What do you blame that on, in a good way?
It's the same stuff as when we were kids, I think. You know, you just have to do it. You meet someone and you can make music, and you think, yeah, this is what I do. I like to do this.
I think it's critically important that what happens usually with a band is that you grow up in the same neighborhood, listening to the same records, dating the same girls, trading the same cars. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're not quite that close, but we definitely come from the same place. I mean, Paul Rodgers was a hero of ours. I mean, probably yours, too. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You're both my generation. That's what I grew up on. You know, I'm only a few summers behind you guys, all the way to the degree where it's great listening to your voice on the radio. Because when we would do sound checks, we always pretended we were English, and we would go, check one, check two, check three.
That's great. I saw you guys a lot of times, as you know. I was a huge fan. You know, you guys were just the pinnacle. You know, I enjoyed it.
Well, we were a delicate, not-so-delicate house blend of what you were doing times the guy in Led Zeppelin meets James Brown. You know I have Black Rage. You know that, right?
You do. You have the gift, Dave. This is great. You're doing this. I was just listening to you on the radio, you know, waiting for the call. You sound brilliant.
Thank you so much. I come from the same generation that you did. In America, radio was in transition. It was screaming top 40, hopping and bopping and fopping with the best bed for the boss. We got Brian. And right at the time when it was changing into... That's right, we got Brian May on the phone. I'm a delicate house blend. What are you listening to these
days?
What are you listening to these days? What's in your CD collection, Brian May?
Oh, there's a young band in England called the Kaiser Chiefs. Have you come across them?
Okay, Sasha is grabbing her chest. That's a great sign.
I love the Kaiser
Chiefs.
Okay, well, write this down because we're going to spin it up. We'll download it and spin it up. What else are you listening to? Share.
I like the darkness. You know, they're very quirky and very strange, and they're actually not at all like us, but...
Yes, I know that.
But everybody thinks they are for some reason. But I enjoy them. I think, you know, I love the humor that pervades what they do. I think humor is such an important part of keeping sane, apart from, you know, keeping the music sweet. You know?
Well, it's also a kind of an illustration with a sense of humor. I'm painting this carefully. It's an illustration with a sense of humor that kind of depicts you in a sort of a funny way, like a political cartoon might. And I'm always proud of my political cartoons.
Yeah, I would be proud of that thing.
No, I wear them like a belt buckle at the end of a rodeo, okay?
Yeah.
Is when people make a reference to me or homage, or especially when they make fun, I make sure everybody sees my cartoon.
Yeah, the best thing is to make fun of yourself first, I think, before anyone else can do it.
Good point. How do you guys rehearse for a tour these days? How long did you fellas get together and actually spin up the songs?
Well, we had a bit... a long sort of breaking in period in the beginning last year, because we didn't intend to do the world tour big. You know, it was just let's get together and do something. And then, you know, the word spread and it became fun and it kind of snowballed. For this part of the tour, we did about a week, but we do sound checks religiously. You know, we never go in with cold.
Well, that's interesting, because we rehearse religiously, and I haven't been to a sound check in 17 years.
You're a bad boy.
I know. I got to be sent to Sasha's room. How many songs are you guys playing in one show now? How many are you up to?
It's a big show, because there's quite a lot of hits to sort of cram in there.
You have more hits than Tony Soprano, and you play them all? Do you play them religiously?
Not religiously, no. We play them pretty hard, you know. We run around and it's a big show and there's a lot of lights and, you know, like in a sense like the old days, but it's a new band because Paul interprets. He's a real, you know, there's no way he could be an imitator. He sings from the heart.
Oh, he's an original, definitely.
He really is. It's great. And so every song is really viewed in a different light, and I really like that.
Are you sick of any particular songs? You don't even have to name the tune. You're sick of playing any particular tunes?
No, any other people's, really.
Because, you know, I've maintained that some of our best interviews may actually be with dead people. I intend to interview Jimi Hendrix and Miles Davis, and I've already had a few conversations with Beethoven, and he is so sick of da-da-da-da.
Like a dead man walk, Dave. Are you singing? How much are you singing these days?
Oh, I sing throughout all kinds of tracks here, all right? What we do is called track blasting. I took all the intros, all the break beats in the middle of all my favorite rock songs, all my favorite hip-hop stuff, all the Latino, the reggae, etc. Took out the vocals and the guitar parts, and we spin it up here. And we have B. Young, our guitar player, in studio live with all the guitar array and all the amps and etc. And we can jam with virtually any kind of music here in the studio. And I chime in routinely on all the kinds of patterns. I don't think we've played as much music in front of as many millions of people in the last 8 weeks as my entire career. We put the traveling on hold up until probably about a month from now, and then we'll be broadcasting. Brian, you know I'm not going to give up my life of danger and intrigue.
What?
I'm not giving up my life of travel, danger, and intrigue here. We're just getting our roots on the radio, and then we're going to start and travel and play again.
Wonderful. Are you talking to Ed? Are you together?
No, I have given Ed a number of calls. I always call right after New Year's, and then I call right around the 4th of July, my two favorite holidays, and there is no contact. And I have gone on the radio and said, hey, guys, lest we follow down a track where we lose somebody. God forbid that any of us turn out to actually be mortal.
Yeah, I miss him. I haven't talked to him for ages, and I really do miss him.
Yeah, so do I. And if you run into him, as I fully expect that you may, because you are a hero of ours, all right? You always
run into him very hard.
You know, if you run into him, put in the good word. And tell him, hey, how hard is it really to play Running with the Devil? I mean, I can't play it, but for you, I mean, come on.
You do jump. Come on.
Exactly. And I still got the high note. This is part of the reason that we do the music.
Show me.
Okay, well, when we finish the commercial, we'll spin up a tune here, and we'll catch it up for you here. Are you going to be playing in the New York area anytime soon?
Yeah, Nassau Coliseum. Pretty soon. How long is it? Two, three days time?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where I am. Yeah, Nassau Coliseum, we'll be there. Queen and Paul Rogers.
Outstanding. What's up in the future? Are you guys going to continue making records from this, or are you going to, quote-unquote, see how it ends up?
I think we may go in the studio. We've been talking about it. We actually do one of Paul's, a new song in the set, which is a lot of fun. It happened very quickly and easily. We seem to be able to, you know, it does feel like a real band. Everybody can do their stuff. You know, nobody's pretending.
You know, the two worst words in the English lexicon are band meeting. Wait a minute, strike that. The two worst words in the English language are acoustic set. But when you guys would do it, you took away the onus. Do you play acoustic during your show? Because that's something I would definitely look forward to.
Just a little acoustic, we do. Yeah, we do a bit of that. But it's big and loud. You know, in the way that it used to be. And
love it.
I think we play a little better than we used to, in a sense. You know, I think we know. I think we're a little bit more connected to our heads.
Maybe you value the experience a bit more.
Well, you know, that's true. I feel very grateful that we're out here. I can't believe it. You know, I look out and see those people and think, my God, I'm a lucky man.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you this: what is your connection to the air guitar?
Oh, the air guitar. We kind of took that up early, and I put some collections of songs together in England on CD, which were the greatest collections of air guitar in the world ever. And I would recommend that I get them to you, because every great riff is on there, just about, you know, including a couple of yours, man.
You know, when we think about the old cowboy heroes, you always knew exactly the name of the horse and what kind of gun he used. Are you using the same guitar you always used?
Yeah, the one that me and my dad made, yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask you, what's the background on that axe? Share with us where that comes from, what music you used to make that. What kind of axe is that? Go ahead.
It's just completely homemade. I couldn't afford a guitar when I was a kid. I was about 18, so we spent about 2 years, me and my dad, making the thing and experimenting and trying out ways of stretching strings across bits of wood. And it just worked out great, and it's become an extension of me. So
it's a signature sound. Even if we've never heard the song that it's on, you recognize that signature tone instantly.
It does have.
And there's only one of these. This isn't like B.B. King's Lucille, where there's 380 of them, correct?
Well, there's now a lot of mine, because we have a lot of copies, and we sell them, you know.
But you still do the original. You still play on the original one, correct?
The original one.
How much is that insured for?
Well, it's sort of beyond price, really, and so it isn't insured, strange enough. I think it's just, you know, if it goes, then that would be the end of that. There would be no replacement.
You're the guy who didn't sign a prenuptial. What kind of amps are you using these days? The same kind of stuff?
I use Vox AC30s, same as I used to.
And isn't that what the Beatles used to play?
Yeah.
Well, that's of interest to the folks, because a lot of the folks here are not musical who are listening in and stuff. And explain what those amps are. What year are those amps from?
The originals are from the 50s, and it was a unique design. It's not like the normal kind of rock and roll amp, which is a Class B arrangement. This is a Class A valve, or what you would call tube arrangement. And the distortion is very low if you play at low levels, but it just gradually creeps in very smoothly. So when you play at high level, it has a very smooth compression-type distortion. In fact, it doesn't even sound distorted. It just sounds like big.
I call it explosive violin.
Yeah, that's something I would. Yeah, that's a good description. Yeah,
it's got
those amps.
A real.
They're new now. We have new ones now, and I have them. I have some of them stripped out, so that there's nothing but what I need in them.
Oh, absolutely interesting. We got any recommendations before we go here for new young musicians, Brian May?
Just believe.
Lead with your face. I've been places with mine. You wouldn't go with a pistol, Brian. We're talking to Brian May, one of the champion guitar players of all time, the face that we know from Queen, etc. And they're going to be coming around town here very soon. We'll start announcing all of those dates here in the remainder of the show. Brian, say hello to everybody for me.
Thank you. And I hope, you know, maybe we'll see you in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be great.
I would love that. Brian, you're a great guest. Call us again sometime.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Dave.
God bless.
God bless you.
Brian May from Queen. I can't top that, man.
David Lee Roth. Mornings. 92.3 Free FM.
David Lee Roth, às 6 da manhã.
Atente, Varugam. David Lee Roth is a primo homem de Minas.
6 a.m. Very consistent.
Life is slow when the groove is on.
We were just talking to one of the classics of all time, Brian May. Here's a classic email coming out of Dallas, Texas from Troy Warner here. Dave, my dad was one of the uniforms who arrested you at the Sheraton Hotel in Madison, Wisconsin. That was 1978. No, you'll see on the second Van Halen album, there's a dedication to the 13th floor, which, from what I understand, no longer existed when we got done with it. I thought it was a country band. Wrong. Thanks for the wicked memories. I drank too much beer listening to Van Halen throughout my childhood. Thanks for the memories. Your show is great. Rock on. Brian has that voice, doesn't he? He's got that British voice. I wasn't kidding when I said that we would always listen to those guys singing and talking in their interviews. And then when it was time to do a sound check, you always, you know, you get up there and if the girls were watching, you would go, test one, test two, test three, Sasha. You'll get a beer. Oh, yeah. we would perfect that accent. All the best bands had British accents, you know. What kind of accent? Now it's everything. Now it's somewhere between Puerto Rican, Korean times L.A. surf, dude. That's actually what you... That's your haircut, man. Freestyle Friday, 866-313-3733. We had the air guitar champion, C. Diddy. You got to Google him. You got to see the look. This is my bastard son. I never admitted it. No, I had a kid. I might as well say it. I had a kid with Stacey Valentine many years ago. And it's C. Diddy. Oh, yeah. You can see his picture there. And, of course, Stacey Valentine, our world famous, our most favorite world famous adult actress, called in yesterday. And I suggested that she name her private parts in that I think of them as athletes, like on a basketball team, right? And that, you know, she has two private parts that she uses to make her living, arguably three, depending on your imagination, and that if she named her private parts, that if one of her private parts was injured, like on the injured list, that she could still perform and retrieve, you know, union scale. As long as the names were on the list, wouldn't you charge union scale, you know? I named her Little Cookie Sugar.
I like that.
You know, you name it Sugar. That way she can go, honey, would you like a little sugar with breakfast? And I figured, okay, well, there was a little bit of chemistry here. What else could we do that we could reach out to our adult film star? So I sang her a song. What did you think of my song?
I loved your song.
Did you like the song?
Yeah.
You want me to sing it to you?
I do. I was very jealous.
Okay, go ahead and put on the sunburn loop here. This is a loop that I made of a track from a record called Your Filthy Little Mouth. All right? This is only 8 people bought this record. And soon you'll be the 9th one to know it here. Go ahead and spin that up. This is what I sang to Stacey Valentine. I could have a full dance card from this, baby. Come here, Sasha. Look at me, baby. First I take my finger, put it on your skin. It makes a little white mark, and then it turns red again. I like that look that you give me, baby. My IQ goes down 14 points when you look at me that way, Sasha from New Jersey, you little tramp. So if you're crazy on a Sunday and you got nothing to do, if you want to get a sunburn, come on up to Dave's roof. How am I doing so far?
You're doing wonderfully.
So if you're crazy on a Monday, any Tuesday will do. I'm available on Wednesday. Reserve the weekend for you. Anyway, put the loop back on. Say, stop it. You're making my knuckles drag. Roth Radio Freestyle. Go ahead, take some phone calls, man. They're all good. Bang it in there. 866-313-3733. Roth, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm from Pennsylvania. I've been listening to you since the first day.
Has it gotten any better?
Put it this way. I'd say you're like a record that you first hear that you don't like, and then as it goes, you like it, and then you can't wait for it to come on.
Thank you very much. That's an excellent comment. So what you're saying is that I grew on you more like fine wine than athlete's foot.
Sure enough. And you're far more intelligent than I ever thought you were, dude.
It turns out my mom said the same thing on the phone 2 days ago. Wow. I got a pattern going.
All right. I'll let you get to some more callers and keep it up, dude.
Thank you so much, my friend. Have a spectacular weekend and carry enough bail in your pocket. 866-313-3733. That's not a joke, man. You know, when you go out with your penny loafers and your parents would give you a dime or a quarter to put in each loafer in case you had to call home, my parents would send me out on the weekend with $85 in bail in my pocket. Go ahead, next call, 866-313-3733. And please, don't be a bail's bondsman. Here we go. You're on. Roth is talking. Go ahead.
Yo, D-Roll.
Brian
from Connecticut.
Que paso?
Round two or what?
What's happening?
How you doing, man?
Excellent.
Hey, in that meeting, how did it really go, man? Did you go up there like Roberto Duran and say no mas?
No, I said initially that I was going to quit after the Tuesday meeting, that they had wanted to extract the music, they had wanted to extract the loops, they wanted to extract basically everything except what was traditional white rocker morning radio, which is great, but it's really predictable, and it's like playing the blues. If you've been doing it for years, then you will make an extraordinary living, okay? Howard Stern invented something. If you attempt to imitate it, you're only going to get 80% down the field, and then you're going to get tackled. You're
I'm a 44-year-old white rocker there.
Yeah, and so am I. Well, I'm 40-11, actually.
Hey, now, what would Grandma Roth say about this?
Grandma Roth would say, Dave, you better get after this. It's not what they call you. It's what you answer to, son. And that's exactly how she talked. And they called us, and I didn't answer the way they wanted here. I got hired in Boston about a year ago on St. Patrick's Day for doing exactly what we're doing in here. This is the engine room, okay? This is where the oars are. This is where, you know, you got a lot of people.
Big train, baby.
You got a lot of people like Stern or Imus or whatever. Those are generals with stars on their collar. Down here, the only thing we have on our collar is grease and some hamburger bun. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, hey, I'm the one that got fired from not McDonald's but Wendy's.
Oh, well, who better to sing the blues then? And what they said to us was that you're going to really have to start changing a whole variety of things because this is a scary show to a lot of people. It's way unpredictable. The music is wildly diverse.
What river are we going down then?
Well, the river we're going down now is not the one you're going to need a paper paddle for. I think we're all aimed north in the right direction here. And like I said before, I'm proportionally reassured, but that's all I needed for Stacey Valentine to achieve chemistry.
All right, now when's the summer tour kick off then? I'm ready for it.
What we're going to be doing, that's a good question, is as we continue here, and it's evidently, this is what the suits are saying, is that, okay, you think you have a vision? Cool, it's down to the ratings. And we're going to go beat it up on terms of the promotion, et cetera. We're going to travel around starting in probably next Thursday. We're going to Boston. And we're going to broadcast St. Patrick's Day from BCN down there. And then we're going to start expanding. We're going to broadcast from Florida, Miami, Palm Beach. We're setting up a studio in Las Vegas, in Los Angeles, and as well as Nashville, because we're headed down there for a week to do Country Music Channel and Nashville Star, which is the equivalent of American Idol. And in and of all of those travels, of course we're going to play. What do you think? We're hyping up B. Young because he's going to go off and make cheeseburgers for a living? No.
Well, I'm ready to jump on your ship too, man. I want to steer the boat too.
You are the biggest reason that the boat got straightened. I think it was all of you and folks like yourself who sent in my body weight in emails. It piled up here. You couldn't get through the door. There was so much paper piled to the ceiling here. And I think it was probably your vote as opposed to my bizarre sense of humor and what I was saying on the radio. Thank you so much for all your support.
God bless you, Diamond Dave.
Have a great weekend. 866-313-3733. Bang it home. New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. This is D-Row, honey. Who's on?
This is Tom.
Oh, it's Tom. No, honey, that's not you. Sorry, I was looking at the Elizabeth on the wall there. What's your name, friend?
Hey, how's it going? I really want to say, anyway, my name is Tom from Hoboken via Florida. I play guitar, and I want to tell you, I like your show. It's better than what I thought it is, and you're very intelligent, which I never thought you were stupid, but, you know, you're very smart.
You know what? A lot of travel kind of adds up. I've spent a lot of time around the campfire telling stories and probably listening to a few more than I told.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point of getting into rock and roll. It's a passport. You get to go everywhere. Everywhere becomes your home, your community. Where do the best rock stars live? You never know. Where does Carmen Electra live? You don't know.
With Dave Navarro.
Yeah, exactly. And where do they live? You don't know. We become citizens of the world here. Like I said, on my bed right now is a sleeping bag. I unrolled it after the argument yesterday. Looks like we're going to be here for a while.
Now, when they say, hey, if you're a rock and roll star, the world is your oyster.
Well, you know, as far as oysters go, they're not entirely dependable. Sasha said to me, Dave, this was last Friday, Dave, why don't you eat a dozen oysters? And you know what? Only 9 of them worked.
I also wanted to comment. My two favorite Van Halen albums are Fair Warning and Van Halen 2. What would you say your favorite Van Halen album is?
I think the one that we haven't made yet. I've got half a dozen tunes that came out of the demo factory, the last Phelan of Van Halen that I was there about 3 years ago, and the tunes sound like they're right off of the first record.
I wanted to tell you, when I heard the two tunes, Me Wise Magic and Can't Get This Stuff No More off the Volume 1, I was like, this is Van Halen again.
Yeah, it never went away. This is a band that got interrupted. I guess we're all terminally adolescent, and in this case, it's a good thing. Roth Radio. David Lee, thanks for giving us a call. And for all of you who gave your ardent support here this week, thanks very much. This would have been the most amazing reality series that never got actually made here. And as I said, there was a lot of fights, a lot of screaming in the background here, a lot of noise in the locker room, so to speak. And we finally hashed this out, at least to a fair degree, yesterday afternoon at exactly 11 o'clock. Big shout out to my manager, Matt Sensio, and our producer, Al Dukes. You guys belong in the United Nations. I was about to, I don't want to use the verb, and you guys put this together in a great way. Again, there were a whole lot of recriminations. They want to change the show. You know what? Everybody's aimed north together now. And you know what? Upstairs, even if the suits hate me, at least they all hate me together. Just like all of you out there, I'm going to see you on Monday. Give it up, everyone. Like I said, we're going to be heading off to Boston for St. Patrick's Day. That's next Friday. That'll be the first time that we start traveling. And you're going to be hearing more and more about where we're going to be broadcasting from here in New York City. We're wiring up some of the local studios so that we can get characters like Brian May down here and we can start recording some of this material. I can't believe I made it through this week, huh? Another hero coming up here. Go ahead and turn the track up, Hutch. See you guys. Shorty.